In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Far be it from me to boast in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. Oh, yes, far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. Where would we be without the crucified, risen Lord? We would be on our way to hell. And yet, God, through his mercy, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Oh, yes, Jesus crucified is the one who saves. Jesus' blood is the one who saves. He's not only crucified, but he's been raised from the dead. St. Paul also says, "Before I came to you, Corinthian community, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is the wisdom of God." I tell you, the cross blocks out being saved by the law. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are saved by Christ who died on a cross. We are saved by him who was and is to come. Oh, yes, far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. Let's continue looking at Luke 9, verse 37. On the next day, when they had come down from Mount Tabor, this is the next day, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is the only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams on the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You fatherless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." Jesus saying they should have been able to rebuke the devil and cast it out. How long must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. I tell you, Jesus delivers people from the demonic. Jesus today delivers people from the demonic. I tell you, we need to know that if there's a block, it might be a demon. Oh, yes, it's not the devil. It's one of his friends. And you know what? We come against every block in the name of Jesus, by the power of the precious blood of the Lamb. We come against every block that would hold us back from the Lord. And in Jesus' name, I bind these blocks and cast these blocks out in Jesus' name. Cough now. Let it all come out in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Verse 43. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands. In other words, it's going to die. But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them so that they could not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Jesus said that the Son of Man must go into Jerusalem and be rejected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priest, and that he would die on a cross so that you and I would have eternal life. When did that eternal life start in Father Tom? At baptism. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They asked whoever brought me to the church, what do you ask of God for your child? And the answer was eternal life. I tell you, Jesus gives eternal life, and we need to know that that eternal life grows as we live the faith of Jesus Christ. There are many people that are religious but lost. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the power of God. They don't know the Holy Spirit. But yet, to know Jesus is to love him, because the only thing that Jesus can do is to love you. You say, I'm not lovable. Yes, you are. He loved you until the end. He loved you until the end. You must know that. He loves you now. He loves you now. He loves you now. You say, but I'm so weak. Join the crew. I'm so weak too. But I'm not going to let weakness destroy me. I'm going to say, when I am most weak, then I am most strong. When you are most weak, then you are most strong. Do you know what I'm saying today? Do you know what I'm saying today? Let's continue. Verse 46. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. Isn't this sad? You could see why Jesus needed to be crucified. They were arguing who is the greatest. How stupid. Jesus did not come to be served, but he has come to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. How sad these people were. Who's the greatest, my Lord? Who is the greatest servant? Who is the greatest servant? That is greatness, not what you think is greatness. But Jesus, aware of their innermost thoughts, took a little child and put the child by his side and said to them, whoever welcomes this child welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. I tell you, we must become like little children. What was a little child worth in the time of Jesus? They had no worth. So Jesus says, according to the world, don't have any worth. But according to the Son of God, who shed his blood for you, have worth. I'll give you worth by my blood. I'll give you worth by my cross. I'll give you worth, Paul, Saul. I'll give you worth by the cross of Jesus Christ. That the least among you is the greatest. The least among you is the greatest. Oh, yes. Judas could have been the greatest one if he didn't deny the Lord and brought him to death. He probably was the weakest one. And if he had given his life to Jesus, he would be the strongest one. But no, he did not give his life to Jesus. And he betrayed the Lord, betrayed him, and that betrayal caused his death on the cross. But far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. John answered, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him. For whoever is not against us is with us. Whoever is not against us is with us. Whoever is not against you is with you. Don't stop them. What we want to do is say to the world, preach the cross, preach the resurrection, preach the power of God, preach the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, that's what we want to say. I say, but they're not Catholic. They're not against us. So let them preach in the name of Jesus. Christ calls us to preach the word of God, the cross of Jesus. He calls us to preach that. But you know what? Many of his servants don't preach that. Many of his servants just preach foolishness. But you see, the experience is for all to preach the cross of Jesus Christ. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem, and he sent messages ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive Jesus because his face was set toward Jerusalem. The Samaritans worshiped on another mountain, Mount Gerizim. They did not accept Jesus because he's on his way to Jerusalem to do what? To die. To die. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to come and command fire to come down from the heaven and consume them? This is sick. Jesus is filled with love. They want to consume the Samaritans because they don't accept Jesus. But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. What did they do in the other village? They preached the word of God. What did they do? They healed the sick. What did they do? They cast out demons. Oh, yes. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Let's see what Jesus says about that. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first say farewell to the people at home. In other words, I will follow you, Lord. I just need to say goodbye to my mother and father. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what that means. The plow has to go straight because there are so many rocks in the area. And so you can't look back because you will hit a rock and destroy the plow. So we don't turn back. We turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ, not turning back. What about you today? Are you turning toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you turning against him? Oh, please, he loves you. He loves you. You say, but my prayers are not answered. He loves you. I know he loves you. It's for your good that he loves you. You need to give him your life again because he loves you. How do I know he loves you? His cross tells me he loves you. Chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. So he appoints 72 others. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I tell you, the laborers are few today in 2020. The laborers are few today in 2021. The laborers are few. Even those who are called to be laborers are not laborers, many of them. It is time for us to say with Paul, far be it from me to glory in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. But the laborers are few, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. O God, in the name of Jesus, send forth laborers into your harvest. O God, send forth laborers into your vineyard. Send forth laborers that will preach the kingdom of God and the power of the cross and resurrection. Send out laborers, O God, not just people, but people that will preach the word of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son will have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world would be saved through him. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. Peace to this house. I say to your house, peace to that house. The peace of Jesus to that house. The cross of Jesus to that house, to your house. Oh yes, you might say, we are so dysfunctionate. But I want you to know that Jesus' function can heal the dysfunction of your family if you give your life to him one day at a time, every day, not counting the days, but knowing, today I give you my life, Jesus. But if not, it will return to you, the peace. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. In other words, you're going to go to the house and you're going to eat and drink with one person or one household. Don't go from house to house. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is amazing. He gives to the 72 the experience of bringing healing and deliverance to the people that they meet. He's given you that experience to bring healing and deliverance to the people that you meet. Oh, yes, but you've got to surrender your life to Jesus. You say, but that's too hard. It's not hard at all. If you don't surrender your life to Jesus, you're surrendering your life to something else. It's as simple as that. If you don't love Jesus with all your heart, you love someone else with all your heart. Oh, yes, Jesus has to be first. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. I remember being in St. Louis, and a man called me up and said, we're taking you off the radio. And I said, why? He said, because we're looking for names, and names only, and you're not a name. And I said to him, do you know, last week I received a call from someone in St. Louis who was suicidal. They knew that I would talk to them. He said, well, I said, the small people that Jesus loves, the little people that Jesus loves are being ripped off, and you're ripping them off. But I'm going to do exactly what Jesus said. I'm going to shake the dust off my feet as a reproach against you. He said, well, I'm sorry. I said, it's still hurting the little people. And you know what? The little people count so much in Jesus' heart. Are you a little person with a big body? Are you a little person? He is in love with you. Not only does he love you, but he is in love with you. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Why? Because Jesus is the fullness of revelation of the Father's love. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you who rejected Jesus Christ. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power had been done in you and had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Do you know that today? They would have repented. And they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. I tell you, what is he saying? Chorazin and Capernaum saw the great miracles of Jesus, but they didn't repent. So Jesus says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. Woe to you. Because if the miracles had done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But you know, you haven't repented. And woe to Capernaum, where he did most of his miracles. Let's continue. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. That's real. When people reject me, when I preach the gospel, they're rejecting Jesus because I am standing in his name. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Whoever rejects Jesus rejects the Father who sent him. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Through the cross of Jesus Christ, our names have been written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? If not, you just say, I give you my life, Jesus. I repent of my sins. Come and be my Savior and my Lord. You know, it's all so simple, but people say, well, you know what? I'm too old. You know what? I'm too sinful. That's from the devil. I'm too old. I'm too sinful. That's from the devil himself, because God knows that you are in need of salvation. You are in need of salvation through the blood of Christ. And you know what? You can have it. You can have it. And salvation is not only today, but all the days of our life as we follow Jesus and give him our life. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.